Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with Freethinker Radio and the Conscious Resistance Network. So today is a special Thanksgiving Black Friday episode of Freethinker Radio. Micah and Johnny are both on vacation with their families, and I am in Mexico. I just celebrated Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving with some friends, but I decided to go ahead and record just a few stories because we want to make sure that you guys get important information, especially this busy week of Thanksgiving and people are preparing for Black Friday shopping. And there's a lot of important things to cover. So I'm going to try to do the job for the guys. And next week we'll be back with the full team for an episode of Freethinker Radio. And I do want to say, if you want to stay tuned to the second half of the show, we are going to play in full a recording from Native activist John Trudell, who passed away in 2015 and who's been a big inspiration to me and I know to Johnny and probably to Micah as well in some ways. He gave a speech on Thanksgiving Day in 1980 that many people have began to call the speech just called Take Back the Earth. And it's a very powerful speech, so we will be playing that in the second half of the show. So stay tuned for that. We're going to play the whole thing in its entirety. It's about 28 minutes long, and I think you're really going to enjoy it, especially our regular KPFT listeners. And before we go any further, of course, I want to say thanks to everybody at KPFT. And if you are new here, if you somehow stumbled upon our show this Friday afternoon and you've never listened to us before, please do think about visiting kpft.org and going ahead and donating in some way, supporting the station if you can, because it is Houston's only community-ran, commercial-free, corporate-free radio. And it's one of the few stations that exists like this in the entire United States, which is really awesome, really powerful, and another reason that I'm thankful to be involved with KPFT, because as we've been saying recent weeks, you know, there's so much censorship that's starting to pop up on the internet, suppression of videos being deleted, fact-checked in erroneous ways, and it's difficult for people to get real, clear, concise, accurate information. You know, you can't just trust that CNN is going to give you accurate information. You can't just trust that even NPR is going to give you accurate information in a lot of these mainstream sources. So it's important to be able to find independent sources. And the internet used to be a place for that. And in some ways it still is, but it's becoming more and more sanitized as this censorship and these fact-checking and all these kinds of things come into existence. So it's really important to have places like KPFT where we can speak freely and we can report on important news. So once again, thank you to everybody at 90.1 KPFT. If you're new here, visit kpft.org. And if you want to find out more about Freethinker Radio and what we do, you can visit thehoustonfreethinkers.com. That's thehoustonfreethinkers.com, all one word. And you can find a little bit about our history and where we come from. But let's go ahead and get right into this. I will preface this by saying the vast majority of the stories that I'm going to be covering today are about vaccines, because you guys might have heard this Thanksgiving week and in the last few days, there's been a lot of talk of vaccines, as there has been since the beginning of COVID and even prior to COVID. But we are now nearing a point where we are being told the vaccines are going to be delivered in a matter of weeks, not months or years. And for some of us, that's pretty worrisome, because as I'm going to share with you guys here, and as we've been sharing the last few weeks and months on Freethinker Radio, as more information comes out about these vaccines, that there are concerns, and there are, you know, legitimate concerns that people have and should have. You don't have to be a anti-vaxxer, anti-science, whatever you want to say, to have legitimate questions and concerns about these vaccines. So we're going to get into all that and more. Let's start, though, with just yesterday, Donald Trump. I'm recording this on Friday morning, so you'll be hearing this Friday afternoon. Yesterday on Thanksgiving, Donald Trump, he had I think it's an annual kind of standard call that presidents do with the military on Thanksgiving. And Trump, it's being reported that Trump echoed his appreciation to military members stationed around abroad, around the world during this annual Thanksgiving salute to troops via video teleconference on Thursday evening. And Trump told the service members, quote, "As president, I want to extend my profound thanks to each and every one of you for your devoted service to our nation. Our nation is doing very well. It's the highest honor of my life to serve as your commander in chief. The Army, the Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Space Force, and Coast Guard each had a unit represented on the call." It's going to take a little bit to get used to there being a representative of the Space Force. Throughout the nearly 40-minute call, the Commander-in-Chief touted his administration's increases in military spending and the quality of the equipment that was being used. However, one point he got to, and this is, I think, where we're getting to the point of what I want to talk about, Trump went on to tell the military members that the world was headed towards recovery from coronavirus, specifically because the delivery of a coronavirus vaccine would begin next week. Yeah, that's next week, guys, as in just a few days from now. He said, quote, "We are rounding the curve. The vaccines are being delivered. Literally, it will start next week and the week after. And it will hit the frontline workers and seniors and doctors, nurses, and a lot of people." "And we're going very quickly," Trump said. And he called this a medical miracle. So that is coming within weeks, you know, within just the next days to weeks. And this is backed up not just by Trump's rhetoric and him, you know, talking big or whatever, but Operation Warp Speed was actually updated. Of course, we've told you guys since May that Operation Warp Speed is the name of the military operation that is sort of a big pharma and military operation collaborating together. It's being ran by two former, one's Alex Azar, the health secretary that Donald Trump appointed, is a former lobbyist for Eli Lilly, the pharmaceutical company. The other is Dr. Moncef Slaoui, who is a former executive with GlaxoSmithKline, obviously a pharmaceutical company, a vaccine manufacturer, who sits on the board, or did sit on the board until this whole thing began, of Moderna, which is one of the companies developing the COVID vaccine. So there's some clear conflicts of interest that we've been covering over the last months. And now that Operation Warp Speed is starting to get to the point where it's going to deliver on what they've talked about. Just days ago at defense.gov, which is the U.S. government website for the Department of Defense, the Office of the Secretary of Defense Public Affairs posted a new press release titled "Operation Warp Speed Refines Vaccine Delivery Plan." And it says, quote, "While the reality of COVID-19 vaccine inches closer, the team at Operation Warp Speed is refining its plan to deliver doses across the country. Charged with delivering and developing a vaccine to 300 million Americans." Now, there's estimated to be somewhere between 320 to 350 million Americans. And so it's clear that this plan is planning to vaccinate the vast majority of Americans. Now, clearly, there's a lot of people who question vaccines on the left now all of a sudden because it's a Donald Trump vaccine, or as that's how they perceive it. And there are people who are maybe more right-leaning and some who are religious who have questions and concerns about the vaccines. So there's a good amount of people who are, I would say, you know, skeptical for good reasons about this vaccine and where it's headed. But despite that, the military is rushing forward with their Operation Warp Speed plan, and Donald Trump is saying the vaccines are going to be delivered within a few days. This press release goes on to say, and again, this is from the defense.gov website. This is directly from the government. This is coming, this quote right here I'm about to read comes from Paul Ostrowski, who is the director for supply, production, and distribution for Operation Warp Speed. He says, quote, "The CDC brings a lot to the table. They get vaccines out every year, from child immunizations to the flu vaccine. So the CDC, Health and Human Services, and our Department of Defense planners, who got after the manufacturing piece and are working with the states to plan for every distribution contingency, created a powerful force. At the core of the plan are the basic tenets of visibility, coverage, uptake, and traceability." And that, I want to talk about that traceability. We've covered that on this show, that there are six different vaccines being developed, and the military and the health officials are saying that, you know, there might be one vaccine that's specifically for adults. There might be one that's specifically for children and even for elderly people and even for infants eventually, they're talking about. So it's important to know that, and it's also important to know that they are saying that they're going to be tracking the people who get the vaccine for up to 2 years, because essentially, folks, this is a live experiment. This has never happened before. The mRNA vaccine, which is being developed by Moderna, and I think there's probably at least two mRNA vaccines that are being developed out of the six, they have never before been approved for human development. This is why the Trump administration, and now even the Biden administration, is congratulating themselves and saying how wonderful this is, that this was completed, and it's a miracle, it's never happened, and, you know, they're just patting themselves on the back. And, you know, there are definitely scientists who are saying, look, this isn't because anything was rushed, this is, you know, a new scientific breakthrough that we've gotten to the point where vaccines are being developed this quickly, and especially an mRNA vaccine. So depending on your view, it's either really scary that something is being rushed to the market so quickly into the people. And of course, we're being told we're in a pandemic that is so dangerous that we have to rush these vaccines. And then there's the scientific scientific community saying, like, yeah, this is a great great breakthrough. The military's championing it. Trump is championing it. Now, as I'm going to show you guys in just a moment, Biden himself is championing this vaccine or these vaccines that are coming. So that is one angle you could take. The other angle you could take is, as I said a moment ago, is that this vaccine has never before been approved. These vaccines themselves, they're being rushed through. Right now we have Pfizer and Moderna have applied for emergency use authorization. And I believe we mentioned last week on the show that General Perna, who is the military lead for Operation Warp Speed, he said last week that once emergency use authorization was applied, that it would take up to 24 hours and then the vaccine, that once the emergency use authorization was applied for and the FDA approved it, which could take weeks, and now we're being told it could happen as quick as December 12th, that once that approval came, within 24 hours, the military would be all around the United States to deliver these vaccines. So that is a pretty, for me personally, a scary image to imagine the military running around the country, the United States of America, and you could say, well, they're here to deliver vaccines, and even that is kind of terrifying for me. As somebody who does believe in bodily autonomy, your body, your choice, and who will not be getting a COVID-19 vaccine, definitely not by choice, that the idea of the military just running all around the country to do that is pretty scary, I would say. And at least, it's not like a very familiar image, and it might give people a shock. So the military is saying that. Yeah, they're planning on trying to vaccinate 300 million people. They are, again, saying that there are, that five of the six vaccines require two doses. So you have to get, I think, one dose 10 days apart, or one of the doses 21 days apart. And then Google and Oracle have partnered with the government, and they're going to track the people who get the vaccines for up to 2 years. And as I said, that up to 2 years is because this is a live experiment. This is basically, it's being done in a way that's never been done before. And of course, you could argue, well, we're dealing with something we've never dealt before. Yeah, but I think we still need to exercise precaution. I would still say that. So that's kind of the latest. Donald Trump is out there saying, like, the vaccines are going to come as quick as next week. The military is saying that they are preparing to start delivering these all around the country. And at the same time, as I'm going to show you guys in just a moment, or talk about in just a moment, let's talk about that now. The Houston Health Authority and the mayor of Houston, Mayor Sylvester Turner, just this past Monday, so 4 days ago, they gave a press conference with a new update on the state of Houston. And this was, again, coming after the federal government and the military started saying that vaccines were going to be delivered within weeks. Dr. David Peirce, who is known as the Houston Health Authority, who I have questioned on this, we've played those interviews on this show before, he said that they're planning on getting the vaccine by December 12th or so, and then it's going to go to healthcare workers, essential workers, and then eventually it's going to start getting into, like, old folks' homes and assisted living communities and things of that, which, again, how much freedom of choice will those old folks have? Many of them have probably been conditioned to believe that, they're under threat. They're going to they could die. So they need to just take this vaccine, even though there might be some uncertainties. We've already had at least one person die from the vaccine trials. We've had studies coming out showing that one of the vaccines could actually give people HIV. That is 100% a fact. Go search that if you want to, if you don't believe us. And as we're going to show you in just a few moments, the CEO of Moderna, who is one of the companies doing the leading vaccines, has already said themselves that they're not even sure that the vaccine is going to stop virus. So, there's just so much confusion going on. But either way, the federal government, from Donald Trump to the military to the Houston mayor and Houston Health Authority, are claiming that we're just weeks away from this vaccine being released and brought out to the public and here in Houston. So if you're listening, they're saying within 2 weeks, we're down to the last couple days of December here. And they're saying that, yeah, we're getting to that point where the vaccine is going to be delivered first to the healthcare workers. But then sure enough, it's going to eventually within, they're saying by April, it might start getting out to the average people. Either way, this is not a far away scenario. And many of you listening might really be ready for this vaccine. You might trust the vaccine, and that's fine. We are not quote-unquote anti-vaxxers here on Freethinker Radio, although we've been accused of that and much worse. But we do question and challenge, you know, these sort of issues. We don't just sit here and blindly trust what we're being told. And we're going to continue to do that. And I think that's important for all of us to continue to challenge and question these things. Don't just sit here and just, you know, don't allow your fear to push you into just taking the vaccine because you're being told or you're being shamed or something. If you don't think it's good for you, then you have every right to say no to that. However, of course, these people in charge are going to make it very difficult for those of us who say no to live. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. So again, as we're going through this here on Freethinker Radio, my name is Derek Brose here on 90.1 KPFT Houston. We do this every Friday at 3 p.m. In the afternoon. My buddies, my co-hosts, Johnny and Micah are not here. They're out enjoying some time with their family for Thanksgiving holidays. And I decided to go ahead and record us a podcast and send it into the radio station so we could still get some important information out. And we've just been talking about how Donald Trump has said vaccines could be delivered as early as next week, the week after Thanksgiving. The military, including the top general involved in Operation Warp Speed, General Perna, has said that the vaccines could come within weeks. And he's also said that once the vaccines are approved, within 24 hours, the military will be all around the country distributing it and getting it into your communities. And that has been confirmed here in Houston, where I'm originally from, and where the mayor and the health authority have said that that is what they have on the horizon. So lots of interesting things happening here, and it's all kind of scary. It's all a little bit frightening, honestly, for me to hear that happening. And at the same time, let's just add a little bit more into the mix. You have Texas Governor Greg Abbott in the last 3 days saying that the COVID vaccine will not be mandatory for Texans. And I think that's a great thing because obviously I do believe in freedom of choice as a free thinker. I believe in bodily autonomy. You own your body. The government does not own your body. The community doesn't own your body. The collective doesn't own your body. You are the one in charge of what happens to your body, and pandemic or not, that's how it should be and should remain. So Governor Greg Abbott and the Texas Department of State Health Services have released a plan to distribute the vaccines once they are approved, and this was just this week. So we got the states, the city, and the feds, and the military releasing their plans for the vaccine. So it's all coming very close here. And along with that plan, they're saying we need to achieve herd immunity. They're claiming that we need to get 60 to 80% of the population to be vaccinated or infected, you know, to actually get COVID so they can get some kind of immunity or get the vaccine. Now, there are, in some polls, at least half the country, maybe as high as 60% of the people saying they don't trust the vaccine and they don't plan to get it. So it's going to be interesting to see how this develops. But either way, that is the goal of the health authorities, is to try to get 60 to 80% of the population. And their aim, you know, one of the doctors here from this article that's coming from Fox 7 in Austin says that we believe 75 to 80% of healthcare workers will take the vaccine. So not even 100% of the healthcare workers are going to be interested. And, so that's just, I think it's an important part of this measure that they're talking about. How are they going to get 60 to 80% of the population to take the vaccine, knowing that at least half the population have questions and might be skeptical? And this is an active plan that, you know, we've been covering here for a while, that there have been Yale studies, there have been all kinds of different study groups put together from the New England Journal of Medicine to, as I said, Yale University, trying to figure out how can we convince quote-unquote anti-vaxxers to take the vaccine. So there's a lot of effort being put in here to try to convince you that you need to take this vaccine. Thankfully, Governor Greg Abbott, for whatever he's worth, says that a COVID vaccine will not be mandatory for Texans. I do believe, though, he said the same thing about masks, that he wouldn't do a mask order, and then that eventually came down the pike once enough people complained to him or put pressure on him. So I don't personally put too much stock in this statement, but perhaps you do. But that's what's being said about Texas, where we are right now. And now I want to play you guys a Thanksgiving message from Joe Biden. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris gave a press conference the other day, the day before Thanksgiving and just wanted to give a message to people. And it was essentially saying, stay home, you know, don't meet with your families, don't gather in groups of 10, which is a message that I don't agree with. And I did not comply with. I had a great Friendsgiving with some friends. There was, you know, and some of you might not like this, but there was no mask. There was no social distancing. We were all healthy, just happy people gathering together to enjoy food and family and friendship and watch a movie together. So that was great. But I want to share this with you as well. And we're going to talk about this. This is just a real short clip of Joe Biden's press conference from Wednesday. And I did edit, you know, edit clips out of that, but nothing in here has been altered. These are Joe Biden's words. You can find this online if you look up his press conference from Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. So go ahead and let's check this out real quick.
You know, we owe that to our fellow citizens who need access to hospital beds and care to fight this disease. We owe it to one another. It's literally our patriotic duty as Americans. It means wearing a mask, keeping social distancing, limiting the size of any group we're in. Until we have a vaccine, these are the most effective tools to combat the virus. Starting on day one of my presidency, we will take steps that will change the course of this disease. More testing. We'll find people with cases and get them away from one another.
Okay, I just want to pause right there. Did you guys hear that? He said once his administration comes in, they're going to, you know, completely change the game on how COVID's being addressed. They're going to do more testing. They're going to find people who are sick and separate them, isolate them from others. Let's just hear that again. That to me gives me pause, but let's hear that to make sure I heard that correctly.
Testing. We'll find people with cases and get them away from one another, slowing the number of infections.
That is what Joe Biden said. We'll find people who are infected and we'll get them away from one another. And to me, that sounds like what we heard from the World Health Organization back in March when they said we need to go into families and isolate people and separate people. And that is a very scary thought. And as I have covered on this show, I think we talked about this last week, that the CDC does have on their websites, they discuss plans for isolating and quarantining Americans. You know, some people are calling these internment camps and these sort of things. And I think that triggers some people when they hear that term. But at the end of the day, the CDC, the American government, is talking about facilities. Now, they could look like tents. They could be office buildings. They could be a nice hotel. But the point is that it's taking people from their homes, forcible isolation, forcible quarantining, and not allowing them to leave when they want. I don't know if that's something that I personally want to live it with and be around. So I don't know. That's really disturbing. But let's hear the rest of Joe Biden's statement.
None of these steps we're asking people to take are political statements. Every one of them is based on science, real science. Now, the good news is there has been significant record-breaking progress made recently in developing a vaccine. And several of these vaccines look extraordinarily effective. And it happens that we're on track for the first immunization to begin by late December, early January. Then we'll need to put in place a distribution plan to get the entire country immunized as soon as possible, which we will do, but it's going to take time.
It's going to take time. So that's equally alarming to me and everything else that's going on. But I just got a couple other stories here that I want to share with you guys, because I know some of you, you support the idea of the vaccine, and maybe even when I say my body, my choice, you don't agree with that. But I believe in self-ownership. I believe that it applies across the board, whether you're talking, you know, about abortion issues or you're talking about vaccines. It's bodily autonomy across the board. And if you're going to be consistent in your principles, well, then they need to be consistently applied. But what also worries me, and here's these last couple stories, is that we have discussions about whether or not people should be able to work or be able to travel if they don't get the vaccine. And again, this is something that we have been warning about here on Freethinker Radio since the very beginning of this, and even before this, way back in 2019, prior to COVID, we've been warning you that there's just been this push to get people to get the measles vaccine or to get this vaccine or that vaccine and to punish them if they don't get it. And now, just this week, Forbes magazine, which again is a mainstream publication, not just some small random outlet, put out a publication, an article from their senior contributor titled, "Can employers force employees to get a coronavirus vaccine?" And it's basically kind of a legal discussion about this. And I'm just going to read briefly from there. It says, quote, with a vaccine seemingly just around the corner, many employers now face the prospect of deciding whether or not they should have their employees get the vaccine. For many employees, it'll be a choice. For others, it'll be a requirement. But is an employer legally allowed to require employees to get the coronavirus vaccine? The short answer is yes. An employer may impose a vaccination mandate for its employees. At first, this might sound surprising or a little oppressive. It is. But when you think about it, it shouldn't be surprising. And they go on to describe how there's already precedents that have been set by OSHA. State law has required vaccines for some employment, and that it's likely that we will see something similar. He talks about religious exemptions and how it's likely that they won't apply, and medical exemptions might not apply for COVID. I mean, these are all very real considerations. And again, can employers force employees to get a coronavirus vaccine? It's openly being discussed in the mainstream. And we've also talked about over the last couple months that in USA Today, another mainstream publication, there were doctors that floated the idea that people's health insurance should go up, or that they should be fined if they don't get the vaccine. And now, just this week, airlines United, Lufthansa, and Virgin are among new airline providers who are going to introduce the World Economic Forum-backed Common Pass, which is this immunity passport we've been telling you guys about for months, which means that you won't be able to fly unless you get this electronic digital health pass or immunity passport that shows that you are COVID-free and that you've received a test or received the vaccine before you can fly. And again, this is United Airlines, Lufthansa, Virgin Atlantic, JetBlue, Swiss International Airlines. Those are just the first five companies that are starting to come on board. And Qantas, however you say it, in Australia, they've also said a similar thing, that they're not going to let people fly without the vaccine. So think about that. We're talking about the possibility that you can't fly, that you can't work, maybe, if your employer follows this, without getting a vaccine. And that is a very dangerous world, guys, that we here at Freethinker Radio, and I hope our listeners on KPFT and wherever you're hearing this, do not agree is something that we should be pushing towards. I know many of you are afraid. You've been told that this is the worst pandemic and the worst thing to hit humanity, when in fact the CDC themselves says that the death rate, the fatality rate is below 1%, and that 99% of people are going to be fine, people who are healthy. The most people who are affected are, yes, people who are elderly, people who are ill, and people who have comorbidities. So we should talk about those comorbidities. We shouldn't punish the entire world or try to slow down the entire world just so we can force this type of agenda on people. This is not the kind of world that I want to live in. This is much like after 9/11, we were told we needed to take off our shoes at the airport. We needed to deal with these increase in violations of liberty. And if you said anything about it, people said, you know, 9/11, we have to stop the terrorists. And it was the 24/7 excuse for anything. And now we're seeing COVID-19 being used as the 24/7 excuse for everything. And that is a very dangerous place to be. So as I wrap up here, I just want to remind you guys that it's important to recognize the power and the necessity of individual liberty. Freethinker Radio, being a freethinker, the Houston Freethinkers, this idea that we've been talking about now, that Micah and I have been on the air for 10 years now, has become more and more important throughout time. And unfortunately, it seems like it's become more and more ignored by a lot of people. This idea that we should sacrifice individual freedoms and liberties for the collective good is not something that we believe in or that we buy into. And I really hope that people will think about this and will really try to understand why this is being pushed, and to recognize that you and your neighbor have a free choice. Even if you guys make a different choice and you decide to get vaccinated, or somebody else doesn't decide to get vaccinated, you should not call for the government to force that on people. I definitely think that's the wrong move to make. And I really hope I gave you some information to think about related to the vaccines and everything going on. I know it's a lot, but I really hope you will take this in. And if it was a lot of information, visit kpft.org, go to our archive page, and you can listen to this episode again. Or you can also find Freethinker Radio on Spotify and, of course, at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. And I'm going to leave it here for this week. I hope you guys enjoy your weekend. Don't go out and Black Friday shop and support big box businesses. If you are going out to shop for family and friends, shop local as much as possible. Those are the people that need help, the people who've been shut down and businesses have been hurt. Go support local businesses if you can. Buy outside of the mainstream economy. Don't go shop on Amazon and those sort of things. That's just my personal advice. You do whatever you want. But we're going to leave you now with John Trudeau, Native activist speech from Thanksgiving Day, 1980. It's a really powerful message, and I hope you guys enjoy this. Until next week, live free, think free, and you will be free. Peace.
We're faced with a very serious situation in this generation. There are insane people who wish to rule the world. They wish to continue to rule the world on violence and repression. And we are all the victims of that violence and repression. We, as the indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere, have been resisting this violence and this oppression for 500 years. We know that the black people have been resisting it for at least that long. And we know that the white people have had to endure it thousands of years. And now it's come full swing to this generation that we live in, nuclearization of the world. You see, this cannot be, we cannot allow this to continue to go on. We cannot do it. You see, and we cannot expect that the pro-nuclear oppressor, that other side, we cannot expect that they're going to change for us. They are going to become more brutal. They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power. We have to reestablish our identity. We have to understand who we are and where we fit in the natural order of the world because our oppressor deals in illusions. They tell us that it is power, but it is not power. They may have all the guns, and they may have all the racist laws and judges, and they may control all the money, but that is not power. These are imitations of power, and they are only power because in our minds we allow it to be power. But it's all an imitation. Racism and guns, economics, the brutality of the American corporate state way of life is nothing more than violence and repression, and it has nothing to do with power. It is brutality. It is a lack of a sane, it's a lack of a sane balance. The people who have created this system and they perpetuate this system, they are out of balance. They have made us out of balance. They have come into our minds and they've come into our hearts and they've programmed us because we live in this society and they've put us out of balance. And because we are out of balance, we no longer have the power to deal with them. They have conquered us as a natural power. See, we are power. They deal in violence and repression. We are power. We are a part of the natural world. All of the things of the natural world are a natural part of the creation and feed off the energy of our sacred Mother Earth. We are power. But they have separated us from our spiritual connection to the earth, so people feel powerless. We look at the oppressor and we look at the enemy because they have the most guns and the most lies and the most money. People start to feel powerless. We are power. We are a natural part of the creation. We were put here on the sacred Mother Earth to serve a purpose. And somewhere in the history of people, we're forgetting what the purpose is. The purpose is to honor the earth. The purpose is to protect the earth. The purpose is to live in balance with the earth. The earth is our mother. And we will never free ourselves as human people. We will never free ourselves as sexual people. We will never free ourselves until we address the issue of how we live in balance with the earth. Because all of our resistance and all of our struggle is hollow. It's false. It's another one of those oppressors' hypocrisies. If we do not look out for the welfare of the earth first, because I do not care who it is, any child that turns on their mother is living in a terrible, terrible confusion. The earth is our mother. We must take care of the earth. They pollute. This oppressor, this machine that has gone mad and run amok, it is berserk. They keep telling us, you know, progress. They keep telling us, face reality. Well, let's deal with reality. Reality is the earth can no longer take this attack. We can no longer allow this thing to continue where it's polluting the air. It's polluting the water. Polluting our food. They pollute the air, they pollute the water, they pollute our food, they pollute our minds. They put us out of balance. They have made us be insecure with ourselves. They have put us into a situation where we have to play many roles. We got to be chauvinist, or we got to be on some kind of a class trip or some kind of an illusionary power trip. We got to play a role, see? We got to play a role to communicate with other people. We got to go through this charade because they have attacked our self-confidence. They have attacked our self-confidence, and they have made us to listen to them. They have made us to believe that they are power. But they are not. They are violent and they are brutal, but they are not power. We are a natural part of the earth. As a natural part of the earth, we have the energy and the power that is the earth. The earth will take care of us if we will remember the earth in more than just our words. If we will remember the earth in our way of life, we are all here to play a role, and all of the animals and all of the life on the earth is playing its proper role except the human people. Somehow we are betraying our purpose here, and that is why we live in the confusion that we live in. They tell us, they want us to believe that we are powerless. We are a natural part of the earth. We are an extension of that natural energy which is spirit and which is power. Power. A blizzard is power. An earthquake is power. A tornado is power. These are all things of power that no oppressor, no machine age can put these things of power in a prison. No machine age can make these things of power submit to the machine age. That is natural power. And just as it takes millions and billions of elements to make a blizzard to happen, or to make the earthquake, to make the earth to move, then it's going to take millions and billions of us. We are power. We have that power. We have the potential for that power. I remember in the 60s and the 70s, and I heard all this thing about power to the people, and I never really understood, because everyone was saying power to the people, and they were talking about demonstrator, they were talking about vote, they were talking about dealing on the terms of the oppressor. Our power will come back to us, our sense of balance will come back to us when we go back to the natural way of protecting and honoring the earth. If we have forgotten how to do it, and if we think that it looks overwhelming and we can never accomplish it, then all we have to do, and each of us as an individual can go out and we can find some spot on the earth that we could relate to. Feel that energy. Feel that power. That's where our safety will come. The earth will take care of us. We have to understand that the American corporate state will not take care of us. They do not care about us. Maximize their profit. That is where their whole life value is placed upon, maximize the profit. They will turn us against each other to maximize the profit because they have done it in the past. Nuclear energy, it's the final assault. Nuclear energy should tell each and every one of us that they have gone beyond the reasons of sanity, that they are no longer sane, that they no longer deal with the real natural world, because they want to create a radioactivity. All right, that is going to make it impossible for the Mother Earth to take care of our life. We will not destroy the world. We are arrogant and we are stupid and we are foolish if we believe that we will destroy the world. Man has the ability to destroy all of the people's ability to live on the earth, but we do not have the power to destroy the earth. The earth will heal itself. The earth will purify itself of us. If it takes a billion years to get rid of the radiation, the earth will do it, because the earth has that kind of a time. We do not. Our obligations and our loyalties have to be to the earth, and they have to be to our sense of community and to our people and to our relations. Our obligations and our loyalty should not be to a government that will not take care of our needs. Our obligations and loyalty should not be to a government that has proven time and time again that it is the enemy of the people, unless the people are rich in dollars. That has been the consistent history of Western civilization and the American corporate state government. That's reality. They are not our friends. They do not care for us. We have to face that reality that we have an enemy. We want to talk about nuclear war. Everybody's afraid of nuclear war that's going to come between the Americans and the Russians and the Chinese or whoever. But are they not waging nuclear war on us now when the miners die from cancer from mining that uranium? Are they not waging nuclear war with Three Mile Island when they release that stuff into the air? Are they not waging nuclear war when they build all of these nuclear reactors and it's not safe? Are they not waging nuclear war when they attack the Indian people on their land, militarily attack the Indian people and racistly attack the Indian people so that they can get at the natural resources to feed their radioactive machine? That is war. and they are waging it against us. They bribe Congress. They bribe your elected officials. They terrorize and intimidate your elected officials by getting the FBI to blackmail them. Those are acts of war. We will have to come to a time in our lifetime, and it will come in our lifetime, when we are going to have to deal with the fact that the enemy has taken over your government. The government is not your ally. The government will use you, chew you up, and spit you out. You think that we are wrong? You think that we are talking unrealistically? Then go look at your elders and see what has happened to your elders in your machine-age society. See what kind of respect that they get. See what kind of a voice they are allowed into your society, what kind of input they have. See what their final reward of happiness is after working for this slave state for 30 or 40 years and allowing someone else to exploit their labors. What is racism? Racism is an act of war. Sexism is an act of war. It's a war against our human dignity and our rights to self-respect. This is the war that they wage there. War. They are warlike. And we have to understand that the American corporate state got to where it's at through the act of war. The next war, you want to think about a war? The next war that you better be concerned about is the one that they're going to fight here. Here in the continental United States. They have fought many wars here. They fought us all along, see, because we said it's ours and you haven't got a right to it. And they fought us. Now you all are claiming that it's yours under this illusionary concept of private ownership of property, and they're going to fight you. But they're going to call it national security and energy crisis. They're going to call it constitutional rights, and they're going to call it judicial proceedings. They're going to nationalize, you know, your military coup is going to come by, they're going to nationalize the police departments. That's your military coup. In the name of violence, rising crime. But all we must do is look in the corporate office and see the rising crime that is taking place there, and nobody's going to jail for it. So we got to understand that they are arming themselves to wage a war against us, and it's going to be called the war of law and order, because they're twisting it around. For 500 years, my people have resisted. For 500 years, we will resist again if it becomes necessary. We want to be able to relate and communicate with all of the people that are living on this land. But we want to be able to relate and communicate from a position of truth. You all got to face the truth. We have had to face it through 500 years of genocide. We have had to face the truth. We have had to live the truth. We have had to die the truth before we're going to ever see our evolutionary liberation. The people that call themselves Americans are going to have to face the truth also. They tell us to be realistic, that progress means all these things have to happen. They tell us that we can't go back to the old way. They tell us be realistic. But there is no old way, no new way. There is a way of life. We must live in balance with the earth. We must do it. We have no choice. If we allow ourselves to be apathetic, or we allow ourselves to be lied to or tolerate their lies about what they are doing to the earth, then we are betraying our intention. We are betraying our purpose here. We cannot protect that seventh generation if we do not protect the earth. We cannot protect ourselves if we do not protect the earth. The earth gives us life, not the American government. The earth gives us life, not the multinational corporate government. The earth gives us life. We need to have the earth. We must have it, otherwise our life will be no more. So we must resist what they do. They want to break our spirit. They will do everything and anything to break our spirit, our will to live. We must learn to resist. We must learn to see. We must learn to look. We must learn to step out of this reactionaryism. All of our lives, they've had control of us through their schools and through their TV, their electronic media. They've had control of us all of our lives. They have programmed us. They have made us become reactionary. We don't think, we react to what they do. We don't think, we react to everything that they do, we react to it. They're setting us up in the 80s because they know consistently throughout the past, the people have always reacted to what they have, to their manipulations of circumstance. They know that the people always react. They're counting on it in the 80s. See, and they outnumber us with guns. They outnumber us with money. They outnumber us with votes. They control all the machines that count the votes. They got it all stacked in their favor, except there's a key. The key is we must start thinking and stop reacting. The oppressor has no thinkers. They have no philosophers. It's all scientific. It's all economic. It's all manipulative. They have no thinkers. You go look and you deal with the enemy, and what the enemy does is the enemy will send somebody out on the street to hit you in the head, and the guy says, I'm only taking my orders. And if you can come from a position of strength to this guy that's hitting you in the head and say, hey, you got to stop hitting me in the head, we want to talk, then he says, well, I have to go to my superior to see. They have no thinkers either. If we will start to think and we will learn to see what reality really is, we will outnumber them through the thinking process. We will take our minds away from them, because through their manipulation of our mind, they control our spirit. And they know this is true. They tell us, see, they want us to believe that we are powerless. They want us to believe that we are becoming overwhelmed, that they can overwhelm us. You see, but they are paranoid. They are more paranoid than any of us are, no matter what happens to us. Because, see, they have to put people in here to come and listen to what we're saying so they can go back and tell. So they're afraid. They're afraid because they know we're talking about reality. Now, why are they afraid? They are afraid because they know that they are dealing with the illusions of power, which are based on the realities of violence and brutality. They're afraid. See, they don't want people to think. They don't want people to be talking, and they don't want people to think about what they talk about, because they know. They've known it all along that they built their whole thing on illusions. And because they have drawn us into giving this illusionary world all this power, they have taken our power away from us, because we believe in the illusions. It's going to be real hard for us to get our way back. We have to deal with the economics. We have to deal with the politics. We have to deal with the whole nuclear madness. But we're going to have to purify and cleanse our spirit a little bit, our resistance, movements. We have to think real seriously about movements. See, movements make up a resistance. We have to be very careful and as how we organize, because they're counting on us to react the same way we did in the 60s and the 70s. You think that this energy crisis, and you think that this economic inflation thing, you think it's an accident? You think it just happened? They saw in the 60s that the American